Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
Installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
thing. I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Yes, it is.
Blah,
this
blah,
is
blah,
Tech
blah,
Talk.
Blah.
Blah, 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 blah. All the blah, blah, blah you can take for a day. And we have got, we were just discussing this off air here, we have got quite a show.
Oh, boy, it's exciting. This is going to be one of the best Tech Talk shows ever.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Because we're going
to
do very
which
little,
isn't hard to
we're
going to
do very little of the actual talking. Yeah. This is why. We've got some fantastic personalities and people and guests and everything lined up for you. We're going to start off the show here in just literally moments from now. We're going to start off with Jay Garman. He's going to do our geek trivia stuff. After that,
a fantastic regular feature of the show.
Yeah, which has just turned out fantastic for us. We're really pleased to have him.
Love
on,
the guy. Love what he brings.
And listeners do too. And then immediately after that, we may do some spots, but then we're going to bring on VP with Oracle, the VP of Event Marketing, and she is going to come on and talk to us all about Oracle Open World, which I am leaving on a jet plane for tomorrow, and we're going to be going out there to San Francisco and checking out what's going on. Been some really good stuff happening already, and they're hooking me up with talking with good people, and I'm excited to hear from them all the nitty-gritty and details and things that I'll be able to share with everybody when I get back, those that couldn't go on their own, and we'll also find out some good information for people that are going, what they should look for. And then right after that, we've got another guy, Steven, from Earl Esk, who is going to come on. He's going to do our cool sites of the week this week for us, and we may make that into a regular thing. You know, maybe not a weekly thing, but maybe a monthly. Maybe a monthly thing. So kind of like we do with PC Tools and Mark Beer and Ion Security, we'll do the guest cool sites of the week.
So this show is chock full of added value and Easter eggs.
It's got it. It's got it all. It's got it all. Like I said, the less that Dave and I actually have to talk, the more value you're going to get for your listening dollar. So stay tuned to this one. All right. In fact, let's get right into it now. Now, Jay Garman, this is interesting. It's his. He's been out of power for.
Oh, he's in Texas?
No, he's in Kentucky. But they've been out of power since like Sunday or some craziness.
Oh, my.
I'm sure he'll be excited to talk to us about
it. He's living the frontier life then.
Yeah. Goes into the backwoods half the time and then... maybe he's busy. He's busy digging foxholes.
Hi, you've reached Jay Garman.
Oh, right. No, the dreaded Jay Garman voicemail message. Uh-oh. Well, you know what? That's okay. We'll give him another shot in just a second here.
That's right. Hey, have you heard about the Sarah Palin voicemail controversy? Do you know all about that? Or?
You mean the email? Email controversy.
Oh, excuse me. Email, of course.
Yes, I did. I did hear about that. Her email was hacked.
Yes.
Although that's somewhat of a loose term for it, really. They just made some intelligent guesses onto what her security questions would be and things.
Well, theoretically, that's still coming out. Mm-hmm. The FBI and Secret Service are involved now.
Oh, really?
But there are a number of issues around it that are significant. For instance, what expectation of privacy can you have in email?
Yeah.
It turns out if her email was hacked, that might not even be a crime.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I can guarantee you that the Secret Service and FBI and so on would not be involved if your or my email was hacked.
That's true.
I think it's a good thing.
Another interesting twist in all this is that a congressman's son is suspected of being the hacker. 20-year-old son.
Oh, wow.
And he's from the South, from Kentucky or something like that. I don't have it with me. I'm only bringing it up because... because of our situation. But, so that's the other thing. One other aspect of this that's interesting is, did she in fact have these accounts to circumvent freedom of information requests for her emails?
Oh, yes. Now, that was what I had heard was the thing that had come out of this was there was a lot of political activity and discussion and fist banging and all this, or shoe banging, because...
either way.
Because of... which is a crime. That, as I believe, that is a federal crime.
Really?
Yeah, to use your... to use private means of communication in order to establish these governmental relations. I know when working in the school districts, as I did for a long time, the school boards and the state were prescribed specifically. Like, there's a whole tremendous amount of laws and legislation about it goes under like the Public Meetings Acts.
Right, transparency.
Yeah, you can't.
You want transparency in government, not and accountability and traceability and. That, and there's concern that these private emails were established to circumvent that.
That's exactly, yeah, that's exactly it. So, but hopefully that's not the case. It's just every year things are getting more and more transparent. As you say, it's just there's no way around it. We're not going to be able to hide behind closed doors and smoke-filled rooms any longer. It just isn't able to happen.
So it's a titillating story from a technology point of view. There's some interesting points to be made. We'll see how that plays out as the election approaches.
Definitely. We got lots of stuff coming up for that. Let me give Jay one more chance here.
Oh, that sounds like a good plan. We could only hope that he shows up. That his power is up to the challenge of communicating with
the
Tech Talk program.
You know, that's part of it is, of course, we're...
Hello?
Oh, we got him. Good morning, Jay. Glad we cut through.
Great. How are you? It's good. You have no idea how glad we are to hear from you.
That bad, huh?
No. We tried you one time before, and we didn't get through.
Yeah, it didn't go through the first time around. We called a few minutes earlier even than I said that we would, which I know this is earlier than we normally do. So, we were just mentioning, too, the trials and tribulations and struggles that you've been going to. People may not realize, but that Kentucky is also experiencing these, at least your very small local area in Kentucky. Has you been out since Sunday, you were saying, power-wise?
Yeah, since 2 o'clock Sunday. Hurricane Ike just followed the river all the way up into Kentucky and Ohio, and there were 300,000 without power, and there's about 75,000 of us still without it.
Man.
Oh, my.
Man. So, that's... And for a tech guy, that's just absolutely brutal.
Yeah, what's that like for a wired guy such as yourself?
It's pretty awful, actually. I'm taking inspiration from like a lot of the stores around town were out of power, but one put a sign up that said, "Yes, we're open. Like Tina, I can't keep us down."
There you go.
Excellent. Excellent. Very nice. I like it. And this would feed well into the ideas that you've got up on your blog right now, that the I Can Rant About Anything website. Was that it? You've got a lot of built up rage and anger saved. So I think
I absolutely do. Mostly at my local utility companies.
Yes. Well, hey, we should dive right into it. I know I am excited to hear. The hurricanes just stay in the news here. We want to find out. The question last week I have written down was, where did the first modern unnamed hurricane form?
Oh.
We know about Ike. We heard about Katrina. We got all these hurricanes with names, but there's areas where they don't even do that.
I'm very eager to hear the answer to this.
Me too. I have absolutely no clue where or when this could have possibly been.
It actually happened in 2004, March 28, 2004. A tropical storm, they thought, or so the Brazilians claimed, hit north of the town of Torres, Brazil, in the province of Santa Catarina.
Ah.
And a year later, the Brazilians finally admitted it was a Category 2 hurricane.
Oh, my.
They didn't want to admit that because U.S. meteorologists said from satellite data they were pretty sure that was a hurricane. But a hurricane had never formed in the South Atlantic Basin, at least not in modern history. So they had no plans to deal with it, no warning systems, and no even instruments to confirm it was a hurricane on the ground. They just were totally unprepared for it. So it took them a year to even cop to the fact that it was a hurricane.
And it jumped right up to a Category 2.
Yeah, it got to 100 miles per hour. It killed three people and did $350 million U.S. dollars in damage.
Oh, my.
Wow. Man.
And the funny thing is that the locals call it Hurricane Katarina after the province where it hit. So they were calling it Hurricane Katarina before the Brazilian government was calling it Hurricane Katarina.
Oh, okay.
And to this day, it still has no official name because there are no rules for naming hurricanes in the South Atlantic Basin because they don't happen often enough. There's no one's ever, the World Meteorological Association never put rules in place for that.
There's no protocol.
So,
yeah.
There's no precedent.
Now, a follow-up question I had, and I don't know the answer to this. I don't know if you have it in your notes there, but what they name hurricanes alphabetically, and it starts with like Hurricane Adam or whatever, right? And then it goes on. I was wondering how far down the alphabet have they gotten in a single year?
Well, I don't know exactly because I think they skip letters.
They've lapped
For example,
they've lapped
I don't think
in the past.
they do Q, for example. They might, but
Hurricane
from my
Quinn.
Informal research, I think they've gotten as far as W.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, you know, maybe that can be a we'll have that be a for bonus points this week. If people can send that in, we'll do it. Well, what do you got for us for people next week? Some excellent geek trivia question that we can throw out there for prizes and fame for anyone that sends us a good answer.
Okay, this one should be a little bit easier than some of my usual fare, but I think it's a fun question. September 18th, just a few days ago, was National Play-Doh Day.
Oh!
And Play-Doh, the patent was filed in 1956 by a couple of guys very near here in Cincinnati. But when they filed the patent, they didn't file it for a toy.
Ooh.
Play-Doh originally had a totally different function than this child's modeling clay. What was the original intended purpose of Play-Doh?
That's great.
That is an excellent question.
Yeah.
The original intended purpose of Play-Doh, patented
in 1956. It wasn't called Play-Doh when they patented it. I'll even give an extra hint. It was actually called Cincy. The product, when they first marketed it, was called Cincy, like Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. I was writing sensei, like
Japanese teacher.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly what I was writing down. I was trying to think how could that fit with this Play-Doh clay sensei.
Anybody who has had children knows the value of Play-Doh. It's just marvelous stuff to keep children occupied.
Yes, and the joy of picking crumbled bits, crumbled dried up bits of it out of your carpeting. So
yeah.
the fun just never ends with Play-Doh.
Yeah.
So
well, I'm not sure fun is the word I would use there, but absolutely
yeah.
It goes on forever.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's better than silly putty because at least Play-Doh you can eventually vacuum up. silly putty just tends to. You can use ice cubes. It's like gum. It's
pretty greasy.
Too. Oh yeah, it's bad stuff. And then there's slime. You know, we avoid
slime. I missed the slime era.
That was one that my parents specifically forbade me from ever bringing anywhere near the house. Was slime, the whole slime thing. So I never had the fun of that except at school touching somebody else's slime. You know.
So, and in like five states, that'll get you arrested.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
And I somehow managed to walk away with my health unscathed too. So,
yeah.
At any rate, we're gonna click us off quick here today, Jay. We've got such a fantastic lineup. I want to make sure everybody's got fair moment to give us some talk. We will look forward though to hearing the answer from you next week, and we'll all be saying our prayers and hopes and all that you get your power back on and get reconnected and don't have to spend all of your life sitting in a Panera or a Starbucks hoping for the free Wi-Fi.
Well, I appreciate it, fellas, and all the good mojo I can get. You guys take care.
All right. Have a great week, Jay.
Great week.
Hope
your power
again.
Comes back
you
soon.
You guys. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Love the Ike and Tina Turner reference there. That's what he. That's what I don't think you quite got that. He was talking. The sign in the store read, "I couldn't keep us down, just like Tina."
Okay. Yeah. I did not pick up on that at all. No, I did not.
Well, it occurred to me that when it was Hurricane Ike and it was causing all this devastation,
uh-huh.
I was hoping people weren't making the association with President Eisenhower, a much beloved president, But with, you know, I thought Ike Turner would be a more appropriate.
More appropriate resident association,
yeah, association
for an incredibly destructive, deadly force of nature that that ripped through the country.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's what we need. Oh man. Well, we've got an option, Dave. I'm going to let you make the choice. Do we go into some in our spots and promos and then call Oracle, or should we call them right now?
It's still pretty early. Why don't we try to call an Oracle?
Let's do Oracle. Yeah. We're doing them right now. All right.
Do spots after that.
Here we go. I'm bringing her up right now. There we go. This is going to be Tanya Wydick. We're giving her a call right now. Hopefully we can get right through.
Hey, most people tend to agree with you about the PC, the Jerry Seinfeld commercials, by the way. Microsoft commercials.
Hello.
Hi.
Good morning. This is Michael, Tech Talk Counselor. I've got Dave Sparky Saganaki here. And Tanya, you are on air with us this morning. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
We're really happy to have you on. Why don't you give us the nickel tour of Tanya Wydick, who you are and who you represent, and we'll get into talking about Oracle Open World.
Excellent. So, my name is Tanya Wydick. I'm the Vice President of Corporate Marketing at Oracle, specifically responsible for event marketing and Oracle Open World, which is happening this week from September 21st through the 25th in San Francisco.
Excellent. So that means, tomorrow, and in fact, I was just sharing, I'm going to be on a plane tomorrow, flying out there, and checking out and seeing what's going on. Now, Open World has been around for a while. How long has it been around? Obviously, Oracle has changed a lot in the last 10 to 15 years. When did Open World start? And where did the name come from, too? That was the other thing that occurred to me, is I'm not even sure why it's called Open World.
You know, it's really interesting. It started about 12 years ago, concurrent with when I started at Oracle, though I did not start the conference. And it was one of, you know, our traditional user conferences that most vendors were running at the time. Fairly small, not too huge, a couple thousand folks coming together, you know, just every year to share their tips and tricks and, you know, get together and network. And, you know, we have changed. Oracle has grown so significantly. And we really reached a tipping point in 2005 after the acquisition of PeopleSoft that we expanded the size of the conference significantly. And it's the one place where all Oracle products and all of our network of partners are showcased annually. So we have grown from, you know, a small couple thousand folks to 43,000 people will be here this year with us.
Wow. Now, 43,000, does that include, is that just the attendees, or does that include the sponsors and vendors and everybody else too?
It is. It's all inclusive, yes.
That is still a huge amount. And
it is.
Makes it real tough to get a hotel reservation, I can tell you. I signed up rather late, and I'm a little ways out.
Are you? Well, we do have a great transportation infrastructure to support the more than 100 hotels that we get room blocks in. And you're right, we do get hotels, you know, as far south as where Oracle headquarters are in Redwood Shores, and all the way into the East Bay as well. So.
Fantastic. Now, how long have you been involved with this?
I've always been involved with the conference from the very beginning, but never responsible for it in its entirety until actually the tipping point in 2005 was when I started working on the conference and running it holistically. I was more responsible earlier on for the keynotes, where we were showcasing our executive speakers and our key partner sponsors.
Excellent. Well, and that was one of the questions that I wanted to ask you too, is to share with listeners who the keynotes are going to be this year, and a little bit about maybe what even we can what we can expect from them, and how did you select them this year? I'm going to tell you, the first keynote Sunday night, this is tomorrow night, is going to be James Carville and Mary Madeline. So I'm real excited and interested to go to that. How were they picked as good keynotes and reps for the Oracle Open World Conference, and what should we hear from them?
Well, they were picked very deliberately, I have to say, because of where we knew we would be in September. We did want to have a focus, a little bit more politically focused, opening keynote on Sunday night. And we usually make the Sunday night keynote really more fun. People want to come in and kick off the week, have a fun time, and they're very entertaining. We've had them speak for us before at an executive event, and we thought, what a great place and a great time to bring them to a broader community at Oracle Open World. So they obviously will be talking about what's going on in the U.S. right now with the campaigns.
Yeah, they are a lot of fun to see, particularly together. I know when I've seen, I've never seen them live or in person, but I've seen them on air, of course, many times. And so I am really looking forward to that. I think you're right. I think that will be a lot of fun, and there'll be a lot of dynamics and and playback for that. So
yeah, they are a very dynamic duo. They're great.
And then after that, now there's how many other keynotes do we have? I know, of course, it caps off on Wednesday with the big one where, of course, you'd expect to see Larry Ellison. But before that, there's at least one more, isn't there?
Yeah, we have three Oracle keynotes and three partner keynotes besides the Sunday night keynote. So we kick off really with our opening keynote on Monday morning with our president, Charles Phillips, and Chuck Rosewatt, who heads up all of development for Oracle. And they will go through a lot of, you know, product updates and announcements, and they're very lively together as well. So it'll be a very entertaining keynote. And that's really the strategic direction, vision, kickoff the conference keynote. And we also have our sponsor, NetApp, who will be speaking after us on Monday morning. So we pair up our partners with the Oracle executives, and they always do a great job. So we're excited to have them.
Very cool. Very cool.
So other keynotes that are happening, just so you know, on Tuesday, we have Paul Ottolini from Intel. They sponsored last year and again this year the innovation theme and track and inside innovation area where we're showcasing a lot of innovative technology within the show floor. But they also give a very innovative keynote, and Paul and his team do a great job talking about, you know, the future.
Now, that sounds like one definitely don't want to miss. Especially with the stuff that Intel has been doing lately and all that, that's got to be really cool. Are there any spoilers you can give us to?
No, you know why? They don't even tell me until the night before.
Oh, man. Here I thought we'd have breaking right. news on Tech Talk.
We're not looking for spoilers as much as a tease.
Sorry to disappoint.
A bit of a preview, a little peek at what we can expect from
the conference. That's right. So Intel, though, they're going to talk about the innovative stuff that's going on now. And you're saying, though, that the things that they're going to talk about are also going to be available. The demos and so on will be out on the show floor after the speech?
Yep, exactly. So, in the case of all of the keynotes, you'll be able to go out to the exhibition hall. We have more than 450 exhibitors with us, and Intel in particular has their own presence, but they also sponsor the innovation booth where a lot of our joint partners are together, coming together, as well as customers showcasing what's innovative in their area.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, and that was one thing that has changed with Oracle a lot, I know, in the last decade or so, is the number of companies that you guys have partnered with and come together with. And, you know, I mean, BEA, of course, was in the news huge last year, you know, all this stuff happening. Has that changed your focus on the show at all, or has that made it more difficult or easier? I mean, I know, like, you know, we joke around here, it's easier when I've got all these people coming on the show because I don't have to talk so much. But does it work that way for you guys too?
You know, it's complex, I would agree, but it's easy in the way that this is the one place, and we all do come together for this one event, and everybody knows that this is where we'll go, and you know, there's no question. They don't think of running their separate conferences. It's interesting. We folded all the conferences of the companies we've acquired into Oracle Open World, and we are just working really hard to ensure that the attendees have an awesome experience when they're here. And, you know, when they come from smaller conferences, I think BEA World had about 3,000 people. There's a lot of intimacy in those conferences. So I would say our biggest task, myself and my team, is trying to create that intimacy for them and make them feel welcome. And that makes it more complex within the construct of a 43,000-person conference. But it's fun because we end up using a lot of cool technology to help them come together, and we create lots of lounges, and we've tried to structure the content very specifically. So if you're interested in middleware, like the BEA attendees and customers would be, that they have a very specific destination to go to, a la the university. So if you go to college and you're in the business school, and then within that you're in the marketing domain, you end up having a core group of people that you see in all your classes. So we've tried to structure the conference the same way so that everybody feels like they can hook up with the people they need to.
Also, your keynote speakers go a long way towards attaining intimacy. I think to start off with, politics is a good icebreaker.
It is. It gives everybody an opportunity to have a baseline to talk about when they go to the OTN night party, the technology network party, on Monday night. They can say, oh, did you go to the keynote, and did you hear what Matt, Lynn, and Carvel were talking about? Yeah, it's a great icebreaker. You're right.
Yep. Yeah, that is true. And, you know, you did mention that there's a lot of new technology that's being put into place in order to make some of this happen a little bit easier. I know one thing that I've played a great deal with, of course, getting ready for the show, is the schedule builder. And just like you talked about, it's just like, it reminds me very much of, you know, college courses, and you set up your schedule and you figure out what you're going to take, and you can even pick out the teacher and search on, you know, what exactly you want to do. Now, I'm assuming that, of course, is all back-ended by some Oracle databases and other things. Do you know how that was kind of put together?
Yeah, we actually partner with a company called George P. Johnson, and they have built that on top of Oracle, yes, the database and the middleware. There's a lot of other technology, Oracle technology, behind what they're doing. We have a recommendation engine that uses our content tools. So we have a ton of great technology, and our vendor partners work with Oracle technology to develop some great front-end systems for event management and for attendees to really leverage everything that we're doing here, especially as we've grown so big. We're using mobile messaging this year. We have an Oracle Open World On Demand, which you can purchase the entire conference, the full conference in its entirety, all 1,800-plus sessions, and have access to those after the show for an entire year. So there are all kinds of great tools for the attendees, and Schedule Builder is one of those. It's great. There's also Navigate, which allows people to get through the conference from point A to point B. Just select where you want to go and where you are, and it draws you a map. And then if you're in the demo grounds and you want to see what's surrounding where you're trying to go to, you just put your cursor over it and it pops up where what's around the booth that you're trying to visit.
Oh yeah, so really I haven't run across that. Is that available online, or is that something we can
always... you can check out Navigate right now on Oracle on the oracle.com/openworld site.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll definitely have to look that out, because I was when I was putting together the list of companies that I definitely wanted to stop by their booths and so on, yeah, trying to figure out where you need to go where, because this is all happening at the Moscone Center in San Francisco, which, for those that haven't been there, is an enormous amount of real estate to be traversing and trying to figure out where you are. And I can only imagine that the interior of it is pretty much packed to the gills.
We are very large. Obviously, San Francisco has built out three facilities, Moscone, North, South, and West, which are great, but they actually cannot accommodate us. We have sessions across five hotels as well, all session space in five hotels.
Wow.
And we also have to shut down Howard Street, so we've partnered with the city of San Francisco. We close a city block for 8 days, and we put up a tent, and that's where we feed people, because there's just no room. We use every room for sessions.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, and I can that alone, you know, that didn't even occur to me, is the logistics of making sure that everyone can get food. Now, I'm meeting with some people, and we're talking about, oh yeah, we'll go get lunch, but it may not be possible to to get in anywhere. I hadn't realized that Howard Street was being shut down. Now, there's a walkway over Howard Street, but you're just kind of assuming that's not going to be enough thoroughfare for the people crossing back and forth.
Yes, we have to take over the entire street and put up tents. They actually have driveways on either side of Moscone, North and South. We tent those as well. So you can walk through, and we serve 72,000 lunches during the week in that area.
Okay. Okay. I was going to say, if you were saying per day, then, you know, you got some greedy attendees because they're.
No. That's 5 days.
Got to start slapping some hands there or something. You know, hands up. You already had yours, didn't you? Come on, fatty, back off. So you got to watch out for us Midwestern guys. We're always looking for a little extra. I really wanted to hear and this is to take us back about a minute or two in our conversation, but what Larry Ellison was going to address this year. Was there anything specific that we know he's gonna talk about? And when is his keynote gonna be?
So he is speaking on Wednesday afternoon. We have his keynote partnered with HP. We have Ann Livermore and Mark Hurd from HP. Mark Hurd's flying in live via satellite. And Larry's gonna be talking about extreme performance. And I can tell you no more because I'd have to shoot you.
and both of our listeners too.
Yeah. That's right.
So excellent. Well, that definitely sounds like one.
That's a tease.
In hearing. Yeah.
We're asking
that
for
is
a tease.
Not to be missed.
Yeah. There is a good tease. Extreme performance with HP and Larry Ellison on Wednesday. So yeah, I've heard that he's not a morning person. So that doesn't surprise me that he's doing an afternoon session.
You know, actually, we have booked both Tuesday and Wednesday as afternoon sessions. We did a lot of surveys with our attendees last year, and they asked not only for fewer keynotes, but to have them blocked in at the same time. So other than the opening keynote, which we have to do in the morning on Monday, we do our keynotes in the afternoon.
Probably because so many people were attending these after session parties and
yes. You've looked at the after dark program. You know, our attendees do not want to stop at 9 p.m. So there is a network of local bars and restaurants that if you show your badge, you get a discount. There are some that parties and functions that, of course, we've organized, which go into the wee hours as well.
Yeah, which I haven't received any invitations to yet. I want to say, come on, let's show some love here to Tech Talk.
So the appreciation event is not to be missed on Wednesday as well. I don't know if you've seen the talent lineup.
No, I have. Like I said, I have. I don't know why, but I've received no information about what's happening. What's going on Wednesday night? Do tell.
We have taken over a large portion of Treasure Island, which you drive out on the Bay Bridge, and right in the middle, before you get to Oakland, is a little island called Treasure Island, and we have put up a little carnival. So there'll be rides and cotton candy. But
wow.
We also have four featured bands, and we have Seal, Alan Jackson,
wow.
UB40,
wow.
And Elvis Costello.
Wow.
Oh, fantastic. You know, Elvis is one of my personal heroes. I love Elvis Costello.
Great. Yeah. So. Well, you'll have to come out there to Treasure Island on Wednesday night.
Four great choices.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's fantastic. Now, I also heard in the Twitter sphere, there was a lot of talk about Michael Phelps was going to be around for some reason, and I didn't get a lot of information about it. But is that just a rumor, or is that verified? Did you guys actually reach out to Michael and try and get him out there? Or?
We did, and he did confirm. You will see him here.
Just kind of wandering around.
No. You will see him in joining a keynote and talking about winning and. You know, it'll be a really exciting time.
Maybe
we're also intending to have him visit the exhibit show floor.
Ah.
So attendees will be able to hopefully grab a photo of him and maybe even get it signed.
And a lot of people don't realize that Michael Phelps is a certified Apex developer who has been. I'm completely making this up.
I didn't realize that either. And I've read the bio.
Wow.
I can tell by the look on Dave's face, he wasn't catching the.
No,
you got me.
Yeah, exactly. In between bouts of training, yeah. So, very cool. Well, I definitely will have to catch up with that. I'll have to make sure I bring some spare sheets of paper for autographs and all that good stuff too.
Definitely.
Now you mentioned to also too, you know, with the sessions and the keynotes, I know that a lot of listeners are not going to be able to attend and not going to be able to get out there. You mentioned that these sessions are available to purchase for attendees online and are available for up to a year afterwards. Can you also purchase that even if you're not an attendee, if you're not going to be going?
Yes. If you just go to the Oracle Open World site, oracle.com/openworld, and if you go to register, within there, there's the on-demand, Oracle Open World on-demand, and anyone can purchase it. You are right. It's not just for attendees.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, and it gives, you know, I was looking at it a little bit ago, and it does, I mean, it's just amazing the amount of, if you just take a glance through the sessions alone, there's so many sessions covering so many things. If you're doing anything with Oracle or thinking about doing anything with Oracle or their partners, I don't see how you could go wrong spending the small amount of money that it'll take to actually actually do that. So well worth the time to look at.
Yeah, I have to say that is one of the things I'm most proud of with this conference. We're not like most other conferences. The educational element and bringing all of our customers and partners together in one place is what drives us. It is our core objective, and we offer, I'm sure, more sessions than most other conferences do, mm-hmm. Because we really are about getting them together to talk about what they're doing. And almost all of our sessions have customer or partner speakers in them as well. It's not just Oracle talking. So that's another benefit, I think, just to hear from others and, you know, understand that you're not alone in what you're trying to accomplish.
Yep, yep. Well, Dave is making signs at his wrist here, saying we got to start thinking about moving us along. Oh, and actually, the DJ for our next show is also he's starting to wave his arms. And the one thing that I do want to is there one thing that you could pick out that you would say, you know what, we are so excited about this one thing this year, you got to do it. And then also too, we'll have to talk off air about, of course, doing a recap after the show. Show too, and maybe talking about what happens. But if we can leave our listeners with one thing to say, you know what, if you're going or if you're not, this is the one thing you'll want to know about.
Green. So we have a special green program, and we have a green marketplace as well. And the green program has sessions focused on sustainability, and we have folks from government officials, Oracle people, our CIO talking about a green data center. And all of our partners, Accenture is the sponsor, and it's a great program, and there are about 20 sessions. And then we have a marketplace along with it. And in the marketplace, we have two very cool things. We have the water bar, which we are not distributing bottled water at the program, and everybody has to go to the water bar to get their water, and we have 9 of those throughout. We also have pedal power. Get on a bike, ride for 15 minutes, and you get to charge up your laptop or your cell phone, and you get a coupon to go get an espresso at the coffee bar. So our internet cafe will be charged by our attendees. Fueled by our attendees' pedal power. So both of those will be great. And we're selling lots of organic products. We brought in lots of local vendors selling their wares. You know, we have ice cream and chocolate, organic chocolates, in the marketplace. So there's a little farmer's market built within that. And I think it's going to be a blast. It's the first time we're doing it. We're trying to green the conference. There's a huge footprint with conferences that we don't want to leave on the environment, and we're trying to do everything we can to offset that.
Wow. Well, that is fantastic. That is a really cool thing. I'll definitely stop by there and bike, because that'll probably be the only exercise that I'll get.
No, you'll be walking a lot.
Oh, that is true. That is true. Actually, the hotel that I picked out is right next to a beautiful park too. I'm hoping to get in some few runs around the park if the evening activity doesn't keep me up too late to do that. So, well, outstanding. I apologize. I do have to pull a short. But we'll definitely be touching base again. Of course, I will be dropping in and seeing what's going on at the conference, and hopefully we can do a recap in the week following, and I'll share with everyone all of the very, very cool stuff that you've shared with us here today. I'll give my live in-person report on how it all shook out.
That would be great. I look forward to meeting you, Michael.
All right, take care. Me too, and have a great week. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Great having her on the show. She was fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, that was Tanya Wydeck. She is the Oracle VP of Events Marketing, and just great to have her on the show. Very exciting. I cannot tell you how excited I am personally to be going to the show, and can't wait to get on the plane and get out there and see what's happening. So, hey.
And we'll be back after these messages.
Yeah, we're going to be right back after these messages. Stick around. Instead of the regular Cool Sites of the Week picked out by me, we're going to do Earlesque is going to do their Cool Sites of the Week. So we'll be right back.
WRLR 98.3 FM.
The Marcus Gurney Cinema in the Gurney Mills Shopping Mall, 6144 Grand Avenue in Gurney. For movie showtimes and advance tickets, their website is www.marcustheaters.com or the phone number is 847-855-9940. The Marcus Gurney Cinema can host your private party, has 20 movie screens, and accommodations for the disabled. Marcus Gurney Cinema creates magical movie memories.
Since Comcast came into the Lake McHenry County area as the primary source for cable TV, they have shown themselves to be one of the most community-minded companies anywhere. They graciously have provided our studio facilities with cable TV services so that we may monitor nationwide news, and with CHSI high-speed internet service so that we may stream our broadcast signal via the web to increase our coverage area to include a global audience. For more information on their basic cable, digital cable, or high-speed internet services, their website is www.comcast.com.
All the hits.
All the hits.
Hi, this is Jeff Davis inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock as we listen to all the hits, the greatest rock and roll hits of three decades, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And we remember Chicagoland's two great top 40 radio stations that brought you all those hits, the Big 89 WLS and Big 10 Super CFL. Saturday mornings, 11 o'clock, it's all the hits right here, 98.3 WRLR.
All the hits.
All the hits.
Listen to the sounds, the coolest sounds around on Musical Memory.
You'll hear your favorite tune.
From noon till 2 o'clock, you'll hear the station rock on Musical Memory.
On Monday afternoon.
So take a break and linger for just a while at 98.3 on your dials with Alan Berg.
And we are back. And yeah, there was a little blurb for Alan Berg. Definitely don't want to miss his show. But coming up right after Tech Talk today, of course, is going to be all the hits
with Jeff Davis and
Zane. Is Zane going to be here today?
Zane will be here maybe later.
Zane will maybe with a potential Zane. We've got Jeff and a potential Zane coming up later after the Tech Talk. So don't miss that. Always good stuff. Always good stuff on that show. And we just got done talking with Oracle. Now, normally at this time of the hour, we'd be talking about doing the cool sites of the week.
That's right.
And all this other stuff, and I would have put in tremendous amounts of work and effort to bring
scanning the entire internet.
Scanning the entire internet, filtering it.
Going through every site one by one.
On company time, Jeff says, to bring you the best and the brightest and the most interesting websites on the web. But I don't have to do that this week because we're going to be bringing to you a young gentleman by the name of Stephen Lensk from Earlesque. He told me it was pronounced Earl like Earlesque, like burlesque without the B.
Yeah.
So we should let's buzz him in right now and see what we can do.
I'm all for that.
Doot 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 doot. I love that Skype. Doot 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 doot.
Yep, it's a pretty cool theme.
Oh, there we go. All right, I was starting to worry.
Hello.
Good morning, Stephen.
Hey.
Hey, we got you. This is Michael Kassler, and I've got Dave Sparky Saganaki with me here.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to Tech Talk.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, we're excited about, if nothing else, just the amount of work that you're going to save me. So, no longer do I have to filter through all of the web myself. We can turn to you guys, and you can do our cool sites of the week for us this week. Now, first, though, why don't you tell our listeners and us a little bit about you know, who you are specifically, but also, too, of course, about Earlesque, which is a cool site which people may not have heard of either.
Yeah, we're pretty new. We're about 3 or 4 months old. Basically, what we do is we set about 8 pasty guys in cubicles in an office and have them surf the internet for about 12 hours a day. And come up with some really cool stuff that probably in about 2 years your mom will send to you in an email.
Fantastic.
You get my drift.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they spend a lot of time on Lolo's cats and things like that, or is this what level of coolness should we expect from Earlesque when we go there?
Well, you know, I try to run the gamut with my bloggers, you know, make sure that we do some of the more mainstream stuff. But mm-hmm. I have a few bloggers who really get into the nitty-gritty of the niche stuff, as you'll find out in the upcoming list of cool sites. But, yeah, we try to find a balance, but as you guys know on the Internet, it really runs the gamut when it goes from crazy to mainstream.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's right. And that's why just finding some of these cool sites can be tough and filtering them out. We should start off by letting people know I pronounced it Earlesque, but the website address for Earlesque is URLESQUE.com. Is that correct?
That's exactly it. If you think about it, it's like burlesque without the B.
Should be easy to remember.
And that's the joke.
Yep. Should be easy to remember.
Yes, yes, which is excellent. I was saying earlier, every time I look at the word, for some reason, the lack of that B makes me pronounce it differently every single time. I keep trying to get my mouth around that U differently. But hey, we should jump into what the cool sites of the week are that you've picked out for us, and what were you able to dredge up? What was kind of the neatest stuff that you ran across this week?
Well, what we tried to do is we tried to come up with some stuff that, you know, had some big buzz on the Internet, but we also wanted to find a few things that we discovered ourselves. The first one was really, really hot this week, and it's actually morecowbell.dj. Now, I didn't even know that .dj existed, but apparently it does. This site uses the famous sketch from Saturday Night Live. It has Will Ferrell and Christopher Walken. It's the More Cowbell, This Song Needs More Cowbell sketch. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yes.
Don't Fear the Reaper was the song.
Yes.
Exactly. Of course you're familiar with that. And what this site lets you do, and granted, this site probably will be up for another 2 weeks before the recording industry takes it down. It allows you to upload your favorite MP3 from your desktop, and then you then add cowbell to any song that you want. And the weird thing is, guys, it actually makes your favorite songs better.
Even better,
you can add Christopher Walken saying, "Needs more cowbell."
Does it have some technology in it that'll actually synchronize the cowbell with the BPM of the MP3? Or does
some,
it just...
Some 12-year-old in his basement came up with some kind of algorithm that decides where the sound of a cowbell will be perfect. I you guys are the smart ones. I'm the one who sits in a cubicle finding weird websites.
So like Ave Maria will be improved by that, or?
Oh, that's a song that cries out for more cowbell.
I tell you what, guys, you put Ave Maria in there. I mean, that's, you know, you're not going to get caught for that one. Put Ave Maria in there, add some cowbell to it, send me the link, and we will feature that on Earlesque.com.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I think that we have to do. I will be putting that together this week and shoot that off, because there's got to be a non-copyright, non-DRM version of Ave Maria out there somewhere.
Probably.
So, yeah. If,
on the harpsichord of nothing else.
If not, we'll get Alan Berg to sing it for us.
There you go.
An original one. That would be awesome.
That's right.
Yeah.
So now that's the first one, and that was morecowbell.dj. What else did you run across this week?
One of my personal favorites, you know, when it comes to the Internet, nothing does better than a good mutant. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Montauk monster that sort of swept the shores of New York State.
Yes.
That was, of course, you're familiar with that. And and so what we do a lot at Earl
Dave, Dave is shaking his head. He's saying he's never heard of it, but yeah. But that's okay. We'll go past it.
Yeah, the Montauk Monster was like this weird sort of creature that washed up on the shores of the Hamptons, and it turns out that it was a viral marketing ploy for something that no one's ever heard of, and so obviously it was very successful.
Yeah.
But we wanted to find more of the mutants online, and we found a great site called strangehybrids.com. And what this site does is it shows photos of some, you know, hybrid creatures. These are real creatures, by the way. These aren't, you know, Photoshop, which is a whole other kind of site that exists out there. Mm-hmm. These are real hybrids. And you know, the photos aren't that spectacular because they just kind of look like, you know, a jungle cat. What we love at Erlesque are the weird hybrid names. For example, and I'm going to say this slowly so as not to offend anyone, the Puma Pard, is a mix of the puma and the leopard. My blogger thought it sounded like something that, you know, jungle cats might call each other on the playground. It's a puma pard. I know, strange.
The blogger or the name?
Exactly. Well, we've been calling him a pard since he started, so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
This sort of worked. And then one mainstream one out there is the Wolfen. That's a mixture of the whale and dolphin, which looks like a dolphin with a punched nose. The Zonkey, can you guys figure out what a Zonkey is?
Zebra and a donkey.
Zebra donkey?
There you go, which is better than the other name that it's referred to as the Debra, which we didn't find nearly as spectacular.
No, Zonkey's definitely much better, yeah.
Debra would be just
exactly.
Like Debra. Debra's not all that exciting.
Exactly.
You can end almost any word with Onky, and I think it improves the humor content.
Yeah, exactly.
Cowbell Onky?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to Cowbell
Onky. Cowbell Onky.
CowbellOnky.dj, and you're all set.
Exactly. So that's strangehybrids.com.
Strangehybrids.com. And I think we've got time for one more site here to cover.
Okay, then I'm going to have to go with the hairy chests of the rich and famous, guys.
The hairy chests of the rich and famous.
My goodness.
Right. And as my blogger pointed out, that, you know, the internet is, as you guys know, is built on pornography, and mm-hmm. and this is kind of the anti-porn. So any character actor comedian out there who you had any iota of respect for, we discovered that at Hairy Chests of the Rich and Famous, once they remove their shirts, you pretty much lose all respect. Oh, you think that Kelsey Grammer is just, he's so witty and such a sharp guy, but the second he takes off his shirt and it gets posted on the internet, you just don't think he's all that.
Not.
Same with Chuck Norris. So tough, but once he takes that shirt off.
Really, really. Now, Chuck, I mean, he's got his own... just a plethora of sites, the Chuck Norris sites, and I can't think of any, of course, off the top of my head.
I think what you're thinking of is Chuck Norris Facts.
Yes, yeah, the Chuck Norris Facts sites. That's exactly right.
Yes.
That the boogeyman doesn't visit Chuck Norris because he's kept awake by Chuck, or, you know, stuff like that. It's crazy.
Oh,
stuff.
So you are familiar. You are familiar. Then.
Oh yes. far
you
too.
You know your Chuck Norris facts.
So, but now Harry, and is this actually the domain name is Harry Chests of the Rich and Famous.com?
It's actually it's some cheap Fortune City site, but if you Google Harry Chests of the Rich and Famous, you will absolutely find it.
you'll run across it.
I guess Harry Chests of the Rich and Famous probably cost the guy $30 to get, so he decided to go with some cheap domain.
And I'm assuming it's all Harry Chests of Rich and Famous men that we're looking at.
Oh, yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, you can find, you know, stuff like Ed Harris, the man can wear a vest like nobody's business, but he also takes his shirt off, you know, much to the chagrin of most of the movie-viewing audience. even Harrison Ford, you know what? not so great.
Well, you know, I think part of it is once you get past a certain age, you need to leave the shirtless look behind. It's kind of like spandex and some of the other style choices that we make earlier in our youth that becoming an older man myself now, I've started to realize there's just things that I just can't get away with wearing anymore. The Speedos, for example, that I loved in my
or your beard.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Mike and Speedos. Now, wait a minute.
Jeff is not happy with
Don't
this image that I've just put into
over.
his head. So well, you know what? Thank you, Stephen, so much for coming on and sharing with us. These are great sites. Now you can find a lot of these sites, of course, at Urlesque.com, which is URLESQUE.com, and I'm hoping we can have you back on a regular basis. We'll do this maybe once a month.
I'd love to join. It's nice not to talk to DJs who have no idea what a blog is. So this has been a real pleasure for me.
Yeah, no, we unfortunately know far too well what all that stuff is and try to avoid it most of the time.
If you're looking for some geek love, this is the place to get it.
This is definitely the place to be. You found a good home. Well, we've got to clear us out. Thank you again, Stephen, for coming on, and we will definitely be talking to you again soon. Have a great week.
Great, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks for being on the show.
Take care.
What a great bunch of guests this week. My, oh, my.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. I just, we have been blessed with some good stuff going on. And we actually, too,
always.
Jeff is not going to believe this, but we're actually making our time. We're going to be out of here and allow him to get in.
Well, we're not done yet.
We're not.
Actually, now would be good so I can get in and get ready.
That's what I was going to say. I think we're finished up. I do have a very cool podcast-only song, but you know what? I think we've got enough time that I can play the whole thing for us while we're here. It'll depend on
this one's
Jeff.
FCC-friendly?
On this one is FCC-friendly. No question about it. I'm going to pull it up right now. Now, this is not one that... This is like the most well-known, unheard-of band you've ever never kind of have heard of.
I don't have to shut it off
early
like last time.
No, we don't have to shut it off this time like we did before. There's no, what Jeff is referring to is...
quick, cut this off because some bad words coming.
Yeah, don't let this go past about 2 minutes. This is the name of this band is Fleet Foxes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love Fleet Foxes.
Oh, they're great. Yeah, and like I said, everybody's heard of them. I almost feel bad for throwing them off because I like to do the kind of, introduce people to things that you want to.
I think they're still flying under the radar, the N radio for that matter. They were on Letterman the other night, actually.
Oh, were they really? Yeah. Oh, now I feel even worse.
Don't be ashamed of having mainstream tastes.
Once they made
you're
it
still
on
a rebel. You've shaved your beard. You've got mainstream tastes.
Once they you made know, it on
you're going to be picking Lawrence Welk pretty soon.
Whoops. Oh, I was just going to pop this up. All right, so we're going to leave it out here with some Fleet Foxes. I'm going to play you White Winter Hymnal. Did they play that?
No, they didn't.
Okay, good. If they didn't play that one, that's the one that we will play. And we will...
Very sweet song. Lots of nice harmonies on this.
It's wonderful. And I will be in San Francisco this next week and cannot wait to get back on Saturday. Jeff says, wear some flowers in my hair. I don't even want to think about it. We'll be back next week, though, and I will give you the Tech Talk personal
lowdown, showdown.
What happened? I'm hoping to have some good sound bites and everything for you. So take care. Have a great week. And here is Fleet Foxes with White Winter Hymnal.
See you next week.
I was following the eye, was following the pack, all swallowed in their coats, with scarves of red tied round their throats, to keep their little heads from falling in the snow, and I turned round and turn the white snow red as strawberries in the summertime.
drops of red tied round their throats to keep their little heads from falling in the snow. And I turn round and there you go, and Michael, you would fall and turn the white snow